If you want to open your Bibles to John chapter 14, and to jumpstart our message this morning, I want to read the words of our Lord Jesus. John chapter 14, I'm going to be reading verses 15 through 17 and verses 25 through 27. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Verse number 25, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Any Wizard of Oz fans here? Love the Wizard of Oz and also love the Wiz. I'm a huge fan of both, but remember in the end of both movies, you know, when the Scarecrow, you know, realizes that, yeah, he really does have a brain, and the Tin Man, yeah, he really had a heart all along, and the Lion, he displayed feats of courage all throughout. And then, you know, we get to Dorothy, and Dorothy's crying. Oh, and you know, what do you want, Dorothy? I just want to go home, Dorothy says. And remember what the good witch says, honey, you had the power with you all along to get home. All you have to do is click your heels 3 times and you'll go back home. And she says, what? That's all I had to do. And, you know, then Glinda sings a song and la, 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 la. And then she clicks her heels and she goes home. Now, am I the only one that if that had been me and you told me all along I had the power to go home, wouldn't you have a little attitude? You mean to tell me I could have just clicked my heels 3 times and I could have gone home? I wouldn't have had to been chased by flying monkeys and poppy seeds and falling on this brick road. And all I had to do was click my heels and go. I had this power with me all the time. And you're just telling me now at the end of the journey that I had the power within me to get back home. I'd have a tad bit, little bit of attitude. In a way, I wonder if that's where we find ourselves in our spiritual walk. I wonder if many of us at the end of our journey with Christ, when we stand before God and we begin to talk about all the hard work and toil and labor that we've worked, and he looks at us and says, you know, you've had a power with you the whole time that would have reduced tremendously the hard work and labor and toil that you did. The Holy Spirit, we study views of the Holy Spirit, we debate the theology of the Holy Spirit, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit's active participatory role in our lives, we find ourselves so confused and ignorant of the presence, the power, and practice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Puff, he's not in here, but I appreciate you sharing how you were moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, it seems as if we need to talk more about how the Holy Spirit is moving, making acknowledgments of the Holy Spirit's working power in our lives. But we spend so much time being dazed and confused about what the Holy Spirit really means, how it works. We find ourselves having walked this walk in Christ only to find out years later that we are equipped with the Holy Spirit, a power given to us to do all the things that we desire to happen to ourselves, that change that we desire, that metamorphosis that we desire is being done by the Holy Spirit. When I was a young child, I remember going to church, to a church that taught us that the Holy Spirit came and left, and when it came, that you would display ecstatic or exuberant joys of shouting and celebration. So I remember as a young child being in church, sitting next to my mother, and she got the Spirit. And she jumped up and threw her hands that way, and I got blasted in the face, and she's shouting, thanking Jesus, and I'm sitting there like, what in the world is going on? And there's other people jumping and shouting. You ever experienced that in church? And we get home, and my mother, I'm like, Mom, why you hit me in the face? She said, oh, I'm sorry, baby, I got the Spirit today. Well, from a young age, I said, well, I don't want nothing to do with that Spirit. Dazed and confused. Then I went to a church where we hardly mentioned the Holy Spirit. I went to a church that when we did mention the Holy Spirit, we mentioned that the Holy Spirit came in measures. There was a full measure. There was an apostolic measure. There was the baptismal measure and the common measure. And that we only receive the common, slightly lower than the baptism measure, because there was no way that we could do and act in the same way that those who received the full measure or the apostolic measure. And, you know, so I'm thinking to myself, so what are you saying, that there was a cup measure of the Holy Spirit, and then there was a half cup of the Holy Spirit, but we get the quarter cup of the Holy Spirit? Church, I can't speak for you, but I grew up confused and dazed about the Holy Spirit. And church, I wish I could tell you that I have it all figured out, and I just don't. Volumes upon volumes upon volumes upon volumes have been written about the theology of the Holy Spirit. I took a class in college called Systematic Theology, and we spent days and weeks and weeks and weeks talking about the Holy Spirit and the theology of the Holy Spirit and the historical view of the Holy Spirit and this view of the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't have it figured out. But this I do know. The Bible is full, particularly the New Testament, full of information about the Holy Spirit. Take this sampling of scriptures regarding the Holy Spirit, for example.
Spirit, come, our hearts control, our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every need. By this we worship and are free. Come, Spirit, come, our hearts control. Spirit's long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed. By this we worship and are free. Let your Spirit come.
Let your Spirit come.
Fall upon me now.
Fall upon me now.
Let your Spirit come. pour upon my soul. Come and wash me now.
Come and wash me now.
Come and make me whole.
Come and make me whole.
Let your spirit come.
Let your spirit come.
Spirit come,
let your spirit come,
all upon me now,
all upon me now,
and let the rain fall down,
let the rain fall down,
pour upon my soul,
pour upon my soul,
come and wash me now,
come and wash me now.
In this metamorphosis that we are a part of, this journey in becoming a changed creature, the Holy Spirit plays a critical and crucial role. This Holy Spirit is given to the believer as a gift. In the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 38, it says, Peter replied to this group, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." God has decided that this Holy Spirit, this entity, this powerful presence would embody the believer. A time does not permit me to preach again the theology of the Holy Spirit, but maybe for a few moments we can have a Holy Spirit 101. And understanding four things about the Holy Spirit. First, if you are a believer, a disciple of Christ, you have in your possession the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in your possession. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5, Paul the apostle writes this, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." It belongs to us. We have it. No more trying to figure out where the Holy Spirit is or where it's acting, as if the Holy Spirit comes and goes. It's gone today and comes back tomorrow, and it comes and you're filled with joy and you smack little kids in the face. The Holy Spirit is in your possession. It's yours. You have the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is not only in your possession, but it's in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is where? In you." The Holy Spirit is in you. Not over here, not over there, not outside there. In you. Jeff Walling, a pretty popular preacher in our tribe, Churches of Christ, makes this analogy. He on stage one particular day, he had two chairs, and he had one chair over there and he had one chair over here, and he talked about the story of the Bible, and that the story of the Bible is that there was a period where this was God and this was man, that there was a period where, you know, you read in the Bible where Adam and Eve, they walked together and they were together, but because of sin there was a great separation, and man was there and God was here. And that the story of the Bible, if you read the Old Testament and you read the story of the New Testament, it's a story about the coming together of God and man and do various stories. And then Jesus gets here and man is really close. I mean, you know, you read John and it says that the Word was with us and he dwelt among us. He was here. And then you get to scriptures like 1 Corinthians chapter 6 where it says the Holy Spirit is in you and there's no longer this walking aside, but there's this. That the Holy Spirit, God's presence, is in you. So we don't need to walk around trying to say, where's the Holy Spirit? I can't find the Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit because it's in you. Here is the Holy Spirit because it's in us. So we have the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is in us. Third, the catalyst in change, this metamorphosis, the catalyst in the change of disciples is the Holy Spirit, which is a good thing because the Holy Spirit knows what changes need to be made in the life of a disciple. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse number 26, Paul writes this, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know because the Spirit is interceding for us, because the Spirit knows our hearts, our minds, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. If I want some change in my life, if I desire real change in my life, if I desire changes that's going to make me a better person, to make me a better father, to make me a better husband, to make me a better preacher, to make me a better brother, to make me a better citizen, then the Spirit knows what to do with me. And since He, the Spirit, is a catalyst in my change, I trust the Spirit to do what I can't do. Amen? We toil and toil. That's such an old word. That's so, you know, we toil. We toil. We work hard. We labor. We do so many things to try to change our lives when all we really need to do is sit back and let the Spirit do the changing. Because of number four, when it comes to the Spirit, the choice is yours. You can choose to be led by the Spirit in change. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse number 16. So I say, Paul says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so you do not do what you want. But, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. You choose to be led by this powerful presence and Spirit that's in your life. The small part we play in this game called change is choice. Choosing to be led by the Spirit, choosing to let this gift that is in you lead you in the way of the Spirit. You have the power to give all power to the leading of the Spirit. And if you allow the Spirit to have the lead from you will flow fruit. If you choose to let the Spirit lead you, from you will flow fruit. So if you choose to be led, from you will flow love. And from you will flow joy. And from you will flow peace. And from you will flow kindness. And from you will flow goodness. And from you will flow patience. And from you will flow gentleness. And from you will flow faithfulness. And from you will flow self-control. If you choose to be led by the Spirit, author Kyle Strobel puts it this way. In many parallel ways, seeing our relationship with the Spirit as Dan's may help make this really concrete. The Spirit leads, but that does not mean we can just drag our feet and expect to dance. We have to learn to follow, develop as a partner, and grow in our understanding of the kind of dancing that the Spirit would lead us in. Got fans of The Wiz and The Wizard of Oz. Anyone here fans of Dancing with the Stars? Love that show. My wife and I, that's, you know, one of our religion nights, you know, that's, we're going to watch Dancing with the Stars tonight. But it's so amazing to watch these stars, most of whom know very little about dance. They're paired up with a professional dancer. And over a period of several weeks, these celebrities, actors, sports stars who don't know a bit about dancing become pretty wonderful dancers. But what's critical in their development as a dancer is when they first meet with the professional, they have to first say, okay, I know absolutely nothing about dancing, and I'm going to give you full control to teach me how to dance. And these professional dancers have to teach the cadence of the dance. They have to teach the history of the dance. They have to teach the movement of the dance. They have to teach all these things. And you have, like, last season, Jason Taylor, who's like 6'8" or some ridiculous size and just muscles bulging out of everywhere. And he's got this small little woman teaching him these dances and leading him in these dances. And in many ways, when it comes to the Spirit, that's the story we find ourselves in. The Spirit is teaching us to dance. He's teaching us the nuances of the dance. He's teaching us the movements of the dance. He's teaching us the rhythm of the dance. I love that analogy, dance, because it sounds so exhilarating, so wonderful. It doesn't sound like work. To be led by the Spirit isn't to be led back into bondage, but it's to be led to dance. Dance. Movement. Rhythm. Cadence. Beauty. And if we choose to be led by this Spirit, if we choose to be led by this Spirit, we will become, as the celebrities, non-dancers become great dancers, we become ones who become great in the ways of the Spirit. In the way of the Spirit. So that's our choice today, church. Will we be led by the Spirit? There is no reason for us to continue to live in a journey where we are not aware of the presence of the powerful Holy Spirit. Back in 1990, when I was in high school, a group called Snap came out with a song called "I Got the Power." Remember that one? It's getting kind of "I Got the Power." That was pretty classical. "I've got the power." It was a hip hop song. It's no reason. There's no reason that we can't walk in this journey with Christ without exclaiming, "I've got the power." Amen? I've got the power. I've got the power. So in issues of change, whatever it is in your life, whatever change you desire in your life, stop saying you can't. Say you've got the power. The Holy Spirit's power is in you to change you. And let's start with that, okay? You know, we want to change people. Let's let the Holy Spirit change us. Let's let the Holy Spirit deal with us before we start trying to change people. We've got the power, church. And if we've got the power, then we can experience the type of metamorphosis that God desires, this transformation into the likeness of Jesus Christ. But we have to choose to let him. We have to choose to let him. We've got to step aside and let the Spirit lead us. But first recognize that the Holy Spirit is, it's real, it's active, it's living, it's here, it's in you. You have it. It's the catalyst in change. Choose this day to be led by the Holy Spirit. Choose this day not to walk in flesh, but to be led by the Holy Spirit. This is my challenge to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us this deposit, this guarantee, the Holy Spirit. Father, increase our understanding and acceptance of the work of the Holy Spirit. Father, may we step away from debating about the Holy Spirit, but step into a dialogue with you through prayer and through your community about how the Holy Spirit is working in our lives right now at this very minute. God, we choose as a community of believers to be led by the Spirit. And Father, in being led, God, we await and we stand at a place to take witness of how you will change us through your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for those who desire this gift of the Holy Spirit, that they would not be denied that gift. For those who desire to step into relationship with you through repentance and baptism, that they would receive this gift, and that they would make a declaration to be led by the Holy Spirit. God, we love you and we trust you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we are led by the Spirit, when it comes to the body, when it comes to the community, you know, we can have an understanding that God through the Holy Spirit is going to do what he's doing with the individual, with the church. He'll change the church. He'll make the church. He'll mold the church. He'll gift the church. He'll give different types of duties and gifts and attributes to different members so that the church would be a representative of something that's being filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me and sing this song, Spirit of the Living God? Spirit of the Living God, it's a song, it's a prayer. It's a prayer to say, I want you to be the living, active part of my life. I want you to melt me and mold me and fill me and use me. Yes, this is a prayer for an individual, but it's also the prayer of the church. Will you sing this song with me? If you have any needs or desires that you want to share with the church, we invite you to come forward and share that as we sing this song.